You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Amen. Amen. And so church should be an experience. It's not just, you know, we don't just come worship, we don't just come hear the Word. We actually come to experience God and His presence and get changed in the process. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Just trying to help you. You know, we're not selling a doctrine here. This is, we want you to experience the Lord. We want you to get in His presence. We want you to come to Him and know Him and receive Him in your life. We're not just teaching doctrine. We're not just teaching. And I'm a teacher. Come on, I've got a gift to teach. I love to teach. We're going to get into doctrine, truth. But doctrine and teaching is just a map to a place. The place is real. It's more than pages. It's more than abstract thinking. It's more than concepts. It starts here, but this gets you on the road to the destination. And when you arrive, the destination is God. Find Him and experience Him in your life. Amen? Amen. Woo! Amen. Hallelujah. Turn with me, if you will. I've got something good. You're going to love this. I just say that by faith. You're going to love this. Proverbs 26:2. This is just generally, in general, I'm going to say something here, then we're going to get specific. But Proverbs 26:2 says, "Like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow." I think King James said what it says, "by the swallow by wandering" or something. "So a curse without a cause shall not alight or shall not come." Hello. In other words, there's a reason behind what happens. Now, I want to clarify that. I don't believe that everything happens that God does. I don't believe God's behind everything that happens. I think there are things that you can do in violation of God's word. You can disobey God. That's not His will. He doesn't want that to happen. There are other people in the world that can disobey God, and because something bad happens doesn't mean that God's behind it. Just because something happens doesn't mean God's behind it, because God's not behind every event. We know the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Jesus said that in John 10:10. So obviously the devil's doing some things, God's doing some things, and then you're doing some things. And the reason we have the Bible is so we could clarify and distinguish between what is God's will, what He does, and then what is not His will. That's what you do and what the devil does. And then you walk through life making choices in life as to whether you're going to obey God and keep His commandments or disobey God and not keep His commandments. And when something happens in your life, you can take the Bible and find out. You can say, well, is that God or not God? But away with this thinking that everything that happens is God. If that's the case, you don't need a Bible. Whatever happens, happens, right? If it happens, it's God. If it didn't happen, it's not God. If you make it, it's God. If you don't make it, it's God. If you sin, it's God. If you don't sin, it's God. I mean, that's away with that insanity. That's not biblical teaching. But there is a cause behind what happens. Now, I'm not talking about random things and accidents and so on. You know, that's why we call them accidents. They're not determined events. You know, I said, you know, you don't go out and have a wreck and say, well, I had a determined event today. You ever seen that commercial for insurance where they say, I'm going to have a wreck today? No, you don't plan those things. They just happen. We do live in a fallen world and a broken world. Some things just happen. Some things are just random. I'm not addressing those. Those things do happen. They happen to good people and bad people. Don't try to read a lot into it. The problem here is that we're in the earth and we're not in heaven yet. That's the problem with those kinds of things. Hello. And when you get to heaven, you'll never have another accident. You'll never go to another funeral. You'll never make another hospital visit, because nobody ever gets sick up there. Nobody ever dies up there. But in this world, because of sin, not necessarily yours, because of Adam's sin, the whole world lies in sin. And the whole world, death has come upon the world through Adam's sin. So we see it, we experience it, famines and storms and all those kinds of things. It's not necessarily anyone's individual fault other than Adam. So there's some random things that happen. I'm not talking about that. We're talking about things that you determine in life or things that are a result of your behavior or your decisions or what you say. When he says the curse causes does not come, he's saying there's a reason why it happens. Usually it's because of what we do. I'm not talking about random events. I'm talking about whether you have a good marriage or not, whether you succeed in life or not, whether you turn out to be a good person or not. You have everything to do with that. Three of you agree and the rest of you just wondered. And we know this because Deuteronomy 28 tells us, starting in that 15th verse of the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, it lists the curses and it tells us why they come. They come because we don't listen to God, we don't obey His voice. I mean, your marriage turning out good has a lot to do with what you do in a marriage.
That's right.
I got four of y'all that time. Well, God just didn't want me to have a good marriage, or God just wanted this, or God. Well, now, what God wants doesn't always happen in your life. God wants everyone to be saved, but you have to accept Jesus to go to heaven. He wishes or wills or desires that none should perish, but all should come to eternal life. But it's up to you whether you agree with that or accept that or believe that. So even though God wants everybody saved, everybody doesn't get saved. Woo! But if you choose, if you believe, if you'll take God's word as it is, in fact, God's word, not man's word. If you'll put your trust and your faith in what God says, you'll receive the end of what God promises. So there are causes for things that happen. So, you know, what we need to do is examine our lives, especially if things are continually going wrong. I'm not talking about random events. Especially if things are continually going wrong, whether it's family, whether it's marriage, whether it's business. And just look at our lives and see if there's something here that we can remove. Maybe it's a cause that we can remove, an obstacle that we can get out of the way. If I had a chair up here and I kept tripping over the chair, walking this way, talking, you'd trip over it and turn around, come trip over. After a while, one of you would probably say, well, Pastor, why don't you move the chair? Hello. There would be a cause for me being tripped every time. And if I can remove the cause, I can stop the fall. And in life, sometimes we're our own worst enemy. Sometimes there are actions or habits or behaviors that we're doing that are causing problems. You know, I love to say it. I picked it up years ago. One book I read sometime. You can't talk your way out of a situation you behaved your way into. Boy, getting good now, isn't it? I know you're thinking you're not preaching now, you're meddling. Well, I mean, we need to meddle like a little here. You need to change the behavior if you want to change the outcome. Praise the Lord. Because there is a cause for the curse. Well, you might flip that coin and say there's a cause for the blessing too. The promises don't just happen. They happen when someone believes. Through faith and patience we inherit the promises. That's what Hebrews tells us, 6th chapter, 12th verse. So we have to believe to receive. You know, a guy on a football team doesn't just catch a ball. He has to be in position to catch the ball. He has to also reach his hands out there. He can't just put his hands down and hit him in the chest. I mean, chest bumps, they make good press when it's the president and maybe a recruit. But it doesn't work in football. You got to reach out there and grab the ball. Okay. So there are reasons. Think about it. See, experience is not always the best teacher. Analyzed experience is the best teacher. Experience doesn't teach us anything if we don't think about it. We don't think about what happened, if we don't examine the things that we did to get us to this point, or things that we did to make this happen or that happen. You know, as Plato that said, the unexamined life is not worth having, you know. Aristotle said the unplanned life is not worth examining, but that's another one altogether. But experience that is examined helps us. Experience itself doesn't teach us. Experience is not really a good teacher if you know the truth, because it gives the test first and the answers later. Hello. That's why you can get in the Word and pray and study and seek God and find out ahead of time before something happens what to do. That's a better teacher, I believe. But God forbid that you go through experiences and not learn something. That would be worse. Amen? So by all means, learn from experience. But start thinking about it. See, if there's a cause for things that happen. See, we're not going through life at random. We're not going through life and just, you know, everything's chance and everything's just coincidence. Come on, there are reasons things happen. Many of the times those reasons are things we have done or things we have said. Every deed done is a seed planted. Every word spoken is a seed planted. If you don't like the harvest of your life, back up and look at the seeds that you planted through your actions and through your words. If you want a different outcome or a different harvest, start planting some different actions and some different words. Amen? And so, you know, huge successes when you think about it, in that light. Huge successes in life do not come overnight. Huge successes really come from little successes sustained over a long period of time. Doing the right thing. Committing ourselves to the principles of God's Word. Little by little, day by day, and this little becomes much in the Master's hand. First the blade, then the head, then the full corn in the head. First the lion, then the bear, then Goliath. Amen? Commit yourself to doing what's right. Commit yourself to obeying the principles and the commands of God. Loving people, forgiving people, walking holy. Pay the price now. Pay it now. And you can have it all down the road. You can't have it all. You just can't have it all right now. Hello? If you'll pay the price now for something that you want in the future, that's called investment. Hello? But if you pay later for something you want right now, that's called debt. But pay you must. At some time, you're going to have to pay. Pay now. Sacrifice now. Be patient now. Are you with me? There are reasons that things happen. And if you will serve God, sometimes you have to make some sacrifices. Sometimes you have to be patient. That's what I really want to teach you on, is being patient. But if you'll be patient, I'll tell you what, little by little, though incrementally, those successes will build and build and take you to the next level. And every little success is another step to a huge success in your life. A better marriage, being a better witness, a better Christian, more committed. What kind of person do you want to be in 10 years? Start acting today like the kind of person you would like to be 10 years from now, and little by little, you become that person. There's no magic wand. There's nothing that's just going to happen overnight. Things don't just happen that way. They happen because of principles that you yield to and give into. That's why we have the Bible, so we know how to love and how to live and how to relate to each other, how to serve God or not serve God. And those little things do make a difference. They make a mark on our soul. They make a mark on our life and on our marriage and on our family and on our business. And sometimes we like to take the easy way out. We want gratification now, self-gratification, immediate gratification. Generally, that involves sin. I want to get rich, and I want to get rich now. Well, the Bible says, be not hasty to get rich. Have not an evil eye for riches. But you know what? If you'll serve God, God will make you rich. And He will bless you. He wants to prosper you. But He wants you to prosper as your soul prospers. I like that. And if you allow Him, He will bless you over time. If you'll be patient. See, principles rule. Everybody say, principles rule. We often think, no, I rule. Well, no, not really. All you do is obey principles or not. Thank God you get smart enough to figure out what's right and what's wrong, and you start doing what's right instead of what's wrong. But actually, you're just yielding to a principle. I mean, a farmer can't decide he's going, in the middle of harvest, decide he's going to harvest corn when he planted watermelons. Principles rule. Whatever he planted is what he's going to harvest. He knows that. Now, he could say it was all over, I did it. Well, he did, in one sense, he did it. He planted the seed, he weeded, and he fertilized and watered and all that, and now he's harvesting the watermelon. He could say, yes, I did that with that ground. Sure, he can prophesy his future, but he can only do it in light of principles that he obeyed. And he worked with them instead of against them, and that's where we mess up. When we go out and sin, we are just working against a principle, really. We're expecting that it'll be covered up, but it's a seed planted. It's going to come up. And you wind up having to pay for it down the road. Hello? So why not go ahead and pay for it up front? Make the sacrifice now. Do the right thing now. That's an investment. And later down the road, you'll receive the good. Amen? Hallelujah. Getting quiet in this Presbyterian church. Proverbs 16. Turn there if you will. I want to talk to you about patience. The reward of patience, how patience pays off. You know, sometimes it's easier, it's quicker to do the wrong thing right now. You can go rob a bank, get money, but you will pay for it later. Hello. Most times you and I get in sin is because we want immediate gratification. It's because we're not willing to pay the price right now. We're not willing to hold back. We're not working with a principle. I get tickled at some people, well, we even say these terms, you know. They'll say, well, he's a man of principle or a man of high principle. What they mean by that is he's determined to live according to the principles of what's right and just and holy and true and so on and so forth. But actually, all of us are men and women of principle in one sense. Whether we realize it or not, we're working with principles all the time. If we're hateful, that's a principle. That would just be a low one, but it's still a principle. you can't work against a principle because principles are, they're keen. You hate, it's going to come back to you. That's called sowing and reaping. You really can't violate that principle. You can work with it in the sense of doing the good, or you can work against the good part of it and work with the bad part of the principle, because whatever you sow, you reap, right? The principle's still going to work. You can't change the principle. I know you might wish you were in another world, but this is the one you're in. Deal with it. If you love people and you live right, God will bless you. If you choose not to do that, you're going to pay for that. It's not deep. It's just real simple. I mean, the clay cannot say to the potter, "Why hast thou made me thus?" Thus is the world we're in. And it is the way it is. God has made the world in such a way that good wins. Love wins. Forgiveness wins. Holiness wins. You want to go the other route? You're going to lose. You may see immediate results, but you're going to pay for it later. And so we have to learn to work with principles and be patient. See, that's the whole point. You've got to be patient because it doesn't always happen right away, but it will happen. You know, some crops take longer than others. I don't understand that. I mean, if you want a quick crop and, you know, plant some watermelons and squash, and you know, and then you'll get a harvest if the weather's right and all things being equal, and make you some quick money about every 3 years. Somebody said, "You believe in gambling?" No, I'm not a farmer. But anyway, that's another story altogether. Stay with me. I'm against gambling. Stay with me. But if you want, you know, if you want to get in the Christmas tree business, you better have some money to hold on to for a while, because it's going to take you 5-10 years to get you some good trees. Hello. If you're going to the orchard business, see, some things just take longer than others. And if you're going to grow men, that takes a lifetime. If you want to grow into a man or a woman of God, that's a lifelong quest, is what that is. But it's well worth the effort when harvest time comes. It's well worth the effort. Amen? Hallelujah. Notice this. In the 16th Proverb. Y'all awake out there?
Yes.
Okay. Verse 32 says, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." Wow. Now that takes some patience, doesn't it? To be slow to anger. You know, when you get mad because you're impatient. You get mad because it's not working out as fast as you want it to work out. You get mad because whatever it is that you're wanting done is not getting done, and so you resort to raising your voice or getting, you know, and you think as a daddy or maybe an employer that you're just taking control. Actually, you're losing control. But anyway, hello. If I scream louder, I'll get it done. See, that's not believing in the principle. That's not believing in the right, that the right will prevail. We will get this thing done. Don't lose your temper. You know, the reason you haven't got much mind left is because you've been giving everybody a piece of it. Amen? And just to use a political analogy, the reason you're losing ground is because you're throwing so much mud. But here, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Everybody say better. Okay. And he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Now what he's saying is, really, you'll have more than the city if you'll rule your spirit. Just take a little longer, that's all. Just be patient. Now you can go knock the gates down, take it over and compromise and do all kinds of things to get a result, but you're going to have to pay for it later and you're going to wind up losing what you got. But if you were patient, hello, slow to wrath, see, you are better than him that takes a city. We look at people many times that are successful, maybe like win the lottery or whatever, you know. And, you know, most people win the lottery, lose that money within the next 2-3 years. They can't handle their money. They don't know what to do with the money. Inheritances many times are lost by people who haven't handled their money right. It's not the amount of money you have. It's the management of the money that makes the difference. And if you never get a hold of that, you're going to have to change your lifestyle. It's like diets. Diets, you know, they work temporarily. But, you know, if you really want to keep the weight off, you got to change the way you eat. You got to have a lifestyle of eating, not a diet. You're going to lose some weight. Right. Are you kidding? I have lost 100 pounds on Atkins diet. 4 or 5 different times accumulatively. Hello? I mean, I've lost 20 pounds. I lost 30. I lost 30 pounds two times on the Atkins diet. It works temporarily. But if you don't change the way you eat, see, that's just a simple rule of thumb. And I'm not, you know, I'm not up here talking about how good I look. Lord knows we don't have time for that. But hey. It's like exercise. It's like any. If you're gonna get healthy, then you're gonna have to have a lifestyle of working out. Right. Can't just be a weekend warrior and go down there and work out in the gym on Saturday. Hello. You need to do it consistently. Listen, if you're going to be a good farmer, you got to do a little bit every day. You don't go out there and just plant one day and then 2-3 weeks later go out there and do a little hoeing and maybe a month later water it. No. Get out there every day and do a little something. In fact, a little something every day, accumulatively, is a whole lot better than all day long every 2 weeks. Come on, you can water your trees and your plants every 3 weeks, and I mean just put the water to them. Put 10, 15, 20 gallons of water when you go out there. They'll still die because there's 3 weeks you didn't water them. So our lives are that way. You have to be patient. You have to do the right thing when it doesn't look like you're getting results, but you know that eventually you will get results. Maybe you're loving people and you're not getting love back, or maybe you're forgiving people and you don't see immediate results. Maybe you could just be a little harder, a little meaner right here and get this thing done. Somebody got it. But you're going to pay for that. Hello. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Turn to Ecclesiastes 7. Ecclesiastes, the preacher says, Ecclesiastes is a very strange book. It's a paradox. In many ways, Ecclesiastes is a contradiction. In fact, Ecclesiastes, in many ways, it's the Bible, it's in the Bible, it's God's Word, and so on and so forth. I understand that. But Ecclesiastes is really a man who's not right with God, looking at the world without God, and seeing that all is vanity, and he finally concludes in the end of the book that the whole conclusion of the matter is to fear God and keep His commandments. Hello? Because without God, you're always hopeless and helpless. And so he says a lot of things that make no sense biblically when you read through there, but you have to understand he's in a backslidden state. He's looking at the world through just principles without God. And I hope you don't take this message that way. These are principles in God's Word. These are not man's principles. This is not me telling you how to live. This is God telling you how to live. I hope you understand that. This is not a positive attitude session, although your attitude will be more positive after this. This is not a positive confession session, although your confession will be more positive when this is all over. This is not mind over matter, although your mind will be changed and your self-esteem will be raised. This is God's Word over the situation. And it works not because it's been tried by people for thousands of years and proven to be true. It works because God says it's true. And when you're in the middle of the battle, remember this. This is not man's principle. This is God's principle. Hang in there, baby. You're going to win. Hello, are you with me? So I think sometimes if we don't connect it with the Scripture and connect it with God and we just use principle, period, without God being involved and forget that the principle comes from God, we give up in the heat of the battle because we just think it's a man's principle or a man's, or so-and-so said that, oh, a pastor told me this. And well, you know, it doesn't really matter what I say. What matters is what God says. Amen? And what matters is if we stay with it. And of course, you know, anytime there's more than one person involved, then everybody has to obey the principles. You can't just beat yourself over the head because something fell through, whether it's a marriage or whether it's a business or whatever. When you have a lot of people involved, maybe you did the right thing, maybe the other person didn't. Hello? God bless you, Mari. But we know this, God will bless us if we continue. Woo! Ecclesiastes, 7th chapter, 8th verse. The end of a thing is better than its beginning. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. The end of a thing is better than its beginning. I like that. Sometimes you got to struggle at the beginning. I know churches, when you start churches, you got to struggle to get a church going. It takes a lot of work. There's a lot of variables out there, you know. You don't know who's going to be with you, not with you. You don't know who's going to work, not work. You don't know what, you know, who's going to hook up and get the vision, catch the vision, and so on. And people come and people go and so on. And, you know, but you got to commit to the cause and commit to the purpose and commit to the destiny and the call. And If you do that, it always pays off. Amen? And God sends people with that same call and that same destiny, that same heart. And little by little, it begins to build. But there's always war stories. We could sit around here and cry and say, woe is me. And nobody knows the trouble I see. And hello. But I tell you what, we're picking high cotton now. You know, I used to say we've picked low cotton. We picked no cotton. And of course, International Outreach Church is picking high cotton now. High cotton's better. But you got to get down there and you got to be willing to pick that low cotton to get to that high cotton. Are you with me? Brother Osteen used to always say, he says, I've been rich and I've been poor. Rich is better. Thank God. Amen. But at some point, you got to pay the price. At some point, you got to do what you got to do to get it done. You pay it then, see, and later you'll get that harvest. You plant that seed, you hoe that row, and you plow that row, and you fertilize and water that row, and you just baby and nurture that thing, and one day, hallelujah, harvest will come. It's worth the effort, amen? The end of a thing is better than the beginning. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. What are people going to think? Well, what does it matter what anybody thinks? What are they going to say? Well, it doesn't matter what anybody says. Do the right thing. God will vindicate you. Time will tell all things. God will come through. Yeah, but they're saying this and they're saying and when they see what's going on and what I'm doing right now, they're going to think this and they're going to think that. I'm just embarrassed. Why would you be embarrassed? You're doing the right thing. You're doing what God said to do. God knows your heart. God knows your soul. God knows what the future holds. If you continue on the road, you're going to be blessed. And one day it'll all come out. The good will be seen and you will be vindicated. You don't have to go out. You know, you don't have to. Don't chase after every little gossip and every little rumor and every little lie that people tell. Just serve God. It's not your job to straighten everybody out. It's not your job to vindicate yourself. It's your job to do what God says to do. Be patient, not proud, and let God take care of it.
It's good.
Chill out. Don't get so rattled about everything. Don't take everything so personally. Well, they're talking about me. Well, they talk about everybody. You've talked about people too. Big deal. Get over it. Get over yourself. Be patient. Are you doing the right thing? Yes. Well, it will pay dividends. It sure doesn't look like it. Hey, don't dig the seed up. Leave it in there, okay? Leave the seed in the ground and go water it. And just be patient, like the farmer. One day it'll come up, first the blade, then the head, then the full corn in the head. Hello. I mean, Goliath may be out there, but you know, there's a lion and a bear in between you and Goliath. Let's kill the lion, let's kill the bear, then we'll go for Goliath. Like I always say, if you're out in the country on the front porch and you got 100 coyotes running at you, shoot the one in front first. Hello. So he goes on and says this, the end of a thing is better than its beginning. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. See how he's connecting anger again? He's talking about anger again. He's talking about patience. You get angry when you get impatient. You get angry with your wife or your husband when you get impatient. Don't you? You get angry with your children when you get impatient. You get angry in a business deal when you get impatient. When you really doubt, you start doubting, that's when impatience comes. That's when anger comes. Anger comes from impatience. Impatience comes from doubt. Not believing it's working. Not believing it's going to work. Not believing you're going to get what you wanted. And so you get impatient, you get angry, and you lose every time. You just lose out as soon as you start, you know, blowing your top and so on and so forth. Do not hasten your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. Do not say, why were the former days better than these? You start complaining about your state. Woe is me. Singing that hee-haw song all over again. You met another and you was gone. You know what? Blue, despair, and agony on in. Why is everybody always picking on me? That's Charlie Brown. You know, we do that. I mean, something goes wrong and then we start thinking about how good we had it before this happened. I wish I'd go back to the good old days. Are you kidding? I don't want to go back there. I remember those good old days, no air conditioning. Hello? I do not want to go back there. I'm sorry. I've got an air conditioner and I'm not going back. Starbucks. Okay. But what you got to realize is you can't live in the past. You got to keep going forward. Are you with me? You have to keep going forward. And you have to be patient, knowing that this will work, that God's word is true, that you will come out ahead, you will win this thing. Little by little, step by step, principles rule. Principles rule. You keep the seed in the ground, you keep watering it, you keep weeding it, you're going to have a harvest. You keep loving, you keep living holy, you keep doing the right thing. Do not give in. You know, Abraham, when he came back from the slaughter of the kings of Kedemlimur, when he got his nephew Lot back, he went up north, up to Haran, that area, and he came back through what was Jerusalem at that time. The first mention of Jerusalem in the Bible, when Melchizedek came and met him with bread and wine. And when he came back through there, he blessed him and so on and so forth, and he gave him tithes of all. The king of Sodom came up because he had all of his people and he had all of his spoil, and he got back Sodom and Gomorrah and all those people because that's where Lot was. And the king of Sodom came to Abraham and says, "You can have all the spoil, just let me have my people back." And Abraham, being principled, he said, "I will not take more than a shoe latchet from you, other than what my men ate in the battle. But I will give it all back to you, lest you say that you made Abraham rich."
Yeah, that's right.
I love that. See, he was a man of principle, what we call a man of principle, that actually obeyed principle. He knew that God would bless him if he'd do the right thing. I mean, he could have gone ka-ching, ka-ching, man. Hey, look at this money I could get. But he knew where his blessing came from.
Yeah, that's right.
Job, his wife tried to get him to curse God and die because he was in some pain. Things were going wrong, but Job would not do it. He would not curse God. And you know what? He did not die. And did you know he got twice as much stuff at the end of Job than he did at the beginning?
Mm-hmm.
You ought to read the last chapter of Job. Because he had principle. Think about it. David, you know, of course, he had his sin. He committed adultery with Bathsheba and paid for it. Incidentally, his first child died. And because of that sin, Absalom, his son, rebelled and took over the kingdom shortly, and then he was killed. I mean, there was repercussion. There was consequences to his sin. But one thing he was faithful in, he was loyal to Saul. And on two different occasions, he had an opportunity to kill Saul. One time, Saul had gone into a cave where David and them were hiding. He could have killed him then, and he didn't do it. Another time, he snuck into his camp and took his water jug and his spear while they were all asleep and then hollered back at him and says, "Hey, I was there. I could have killed you, and I didn't because I will not touch the Lord's anointed." He was principled. See, he could have immediately took care of his situation, just killed Saul, but that would have been the wrong thing to do. Been quick results if he'd paid for it down the road. And because of his principle in that respect, He was probably one of the greatest kings that Israel ever had. Principle counts. It pays. But you got to be patient. David could have took care of his problem real quick by just killing Saul, but he was patient. He would not touch the Lord's anointed because it was wrong to do that. Sometimes there are opportunities that come up in your life that will give you quick gratification. But if it's principle, if it's wrong in principle, it's wrong to do. No matter how good it looks. Are you with me? That's why there's certain things I will not do. They're just wrong in principle. I believe gambling is wrong in principle. Hello. You may not agree with that, but you have to deal with that in your own conscience. I believe the Bible's plain. I think it's wrong in principle. I think there's a lot of things that are wrong in principle. And so, better is the patient in spirit than the proud in spirit. Amen? It says this, 10th verse, "Do not say, why were the former days better than these? For you do not inquire wisely concerning this." Don't question God. When God puts a period, don't put a question mark. Amen? Turn to James 5th chapter. This helping somebody? I'm not making y'all mad, am I? Because that would be wrong in principle. I love you. James 5th chapter. Be patient. 7th verse, I'll close out with this. We'll bring this to a close. "Therefore, be patient, brethren." And I'm sure that's cisterns too. Okay, "therefore, be patient." What's wrong with y'all? Y'all, come on, get involved with the message. Participate, help me. "Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits." He does what? He waits. Most of your life is going to be waiting. Really, I want to tell you, most of your life is doing the Word of God and just waiting for the result. But what you have to do is trust in the result, trust in the principle, trust in what God says, and it will come to pass. Principles rule. What God says rules. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. That's true. That rules. That principle rules. Hallelujah. If you want to do evil, you're going to get evil's going to come back to you. Like David when he sinned with Bathsheba. You know what? That came back to him. Him not killing Saul when he could have and had been the wrong thing to do. That came back and blessed Saul. When he did something right, that brought a good result, a good harvest. When he did something wrong, that brought a bad harvest. Hello. Now, you can't change the past, but you can start right now. You say, well, man, I've made a mess of my life. Well, I'll tell you what, you can start right now and start over and ask God to forgive you. We can go forward with this thing. If you're on the wrong road, the best thing to do is get off of it. If you're headed the wrong direction, the best thing to do is turn around and head the right direction. You say, well, man, I got a mile of fence I got to put in. We'll start with the first post. You do it one post at a time. Yeah, but you don't know what I'm looking at. I got an elephant I got to eat here. Well, you eat an elephant one bite at a time. You got to take that first bite sometime. Amen? Well, I've done this and I've done that and I keep doing this. Stop it. Stop it. And let's start today doing the right thing. You know what? You're in church today. Thank God you came. You're doing good. In fact, you've been here since we started. Hallelujah. One or two of you left, but the rest of you stayed. That's good. You've been here and God's pleased. You could have been other places, but you came here. This is good. This is wonderful. Now keep it up. Keep going to church. Amen? Keep serving God. James 5, verse 7 says, therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. How long? Well, till the coming of the Lord. Amen? So, how long I got to do this? Till the Lord comes. That's how long you got to do this. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. Waiting patiently, that's the key. Trust in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Psalm 37 tells us that. So there's a difference between waiting and waiting patiently. Patience is the key. You also be patient, 8th verse. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another. Gripe, moan, and groan. You might say, don't get angry and frustrated with each other. That's when you get impatience. You know, in all these verses we've been looking at, anger has a big part to play in this. And frustration with people has a big part to play. You've got to stop that. You say, well, so-and-so just makes me so mad. No, they don't. You made yourself mad. You decided to get mad. Yeah, but they did this. They didn't do anything to you. They did some stuff, but your choice was to either pray for them or get mad at them. And you cannot be mad at someone you're praying for. I mean, if you're praying right. There is a scripture, and I think it's Psalm 109, where it says, let his days be few, and let another man take his office. Don't be praying that for the president, okay? Whenever we get somebody and you don't like. That went right over. You didn't get that one. Anyway, it says, you also be patient, establish your hearts. Your hearts get established in the time of trial or test. I'm telling you, when the opposition's coming, when the opportunity or the pressure is to give in and to give up, listen, that's when your heart gets established, when you decide to do the right thing. You stand there and you're going to determine you're going to do the right thing. Amen. Amen? That there's a time of establishing you. This is good. Battles can be good if you'll believe God and trust God. They'll be bad if you don't. But if you'll believe God and trust God, you'll get established. Amen? For the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, 9th verse, brethren, lest you be condemned or judged. The judge stands at the door. Don't you start blaming everybody and playing that victim role. Whatever's going on in your life, you can change if you'll believe God and trust God and obey His Word. I don't know if your mom raised you right or not, but can't blame your mama, okay? They did the best they could do. You're grown. Now it's up to you. Maybe you had some bad experiences in your life. Don't let them rule your life. Let principles rule. You learn to forgive. You learn to rise above it. You learn to trust God. Do the right thing. God will bless you. If you hearken diligently to His voice, you do that which is right in His sight. You keep His commandments, which He commands you this day. The Bible says He will set you on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings will come on you, and they will overtake you. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the fruit of your kind, the flocks of your sheep, and the fruit of your ground. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall be when you go out, your basket, your store. The heavens he will open and cause the rain to come down in your land in its season, and he will bless all the work of your hand if you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his sight. He will do it. He will do it. He is not a man he'd lie, nor the son of man he'd repent. He is God, and he keeps his word. Be patient. It may not look like it, but it doesn't matter what it looks like. What matters is what God says. Amen? He says this, my brethren, 10th verse, I'm closing out here. Take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure, not those who quit. We don't give medals and rewards for people who run. We give medals and rewards for people who stay the course. Brother Wilson used to always quote this poem. Great it is to dream the dream when you stand in youth by the starry stream, but a greater thing is to fight life through and say in the end that the dream is true. Stand, fight, and win. Be patient. Don't give in to the devil or temptation. Don't be proud. Be patient. He says, indeed, 11th verse, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance or patience of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord. Wow. That the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. You know what God's end for you is always, it always is? It's always good. The end that God intends comes when you are patient. When you get impatient, you never get the end God intends. Amen. Y'all catch it? Amen. Use them as an example of patience in believing God, stand on His Word. So if we will stand and fight, we'll win. All the devil's throwing everything he's got at us. He's wanting to kill us and destroy us and get us away from God. But if we'll be patient and keep doing the right thing in spite of what the devil's doing, then the end of the Lord will be good and gracious and merciful, and we'll win. Better is the end of the thing than the beginning thereof. Better is the patient spirit than the proud in spirit.